adjust your radio frequency. This is not a test. This is the Artist First Network. Cool.
Welcome to another broadcast of Bigfoot Central on the Artist First Radio Network. You know, this program was named by Art Bell from Art Bell fame. This is an original broadcast that's been airing about Bigfoot since the last century. This is an open platform for the free expression of ideas. And let's turn things over on a special broadcast tonight. Our guest is Melissa Hovey. But first, let's turn things over to M.K. Davis and Don Monroe. Gentlemen.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Oh. I'm all right. How you doing?
Oh, I've been better, been worse. I have a good time out here, another new adventure. I'm over in Idaho right now. Up in the panhandle by Coeur d'Alene, yeah.
Yeah, I know where Coeur d'Alene is.
Yeah, it's beautiful here.
That's the wild parts of our country over there, Idaho. A lot of Bigfoot sightings over there.
Yeah, there is. It's called the Heart of the Mountains up here, in French, you know, French name in Coeur d'Alene. And Ponderay Lake up here. I've been here before. I used to live here years ago, in fact, and I did a lot of research around here in these mountains, and it's very much full of the wild man.
Well, Don, as you know, we have as our guest today Melissa Hovey of the American Bigfoot Society. I think, Melissa, you're like president of the American Bigfoot Society, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay. Melissa, as of late, in the last month or so, released an interesting photo that's sort of taken the Internet by storm. If you go to the Artist First homepage and click on the Bigfoot Central tab and then go to the on-air sign where it's blinking, you'll see the April show button. Click on that, and you get to see these different versions of the photo. Which I have worked on extensively and trying to get as much information as I could out of the photo. There's not a lot of description about the circumstances surrounding the photo, is it, Melissa?
No, not really. And let me clear up something here really quick. You know, yeah, I released the photograph. I originally spoke with this gentleman in 2008, by email. But the decision for this to go forward, you know, and to place this on, you know, to put this out there was actually made between myself, my fiancé, Wayne Larson, Billy Willard, Kelly Fain, Toby Tolman, and Mike Frazee. I mean, because we talked about this, we've been talking about this since last year within the American Bigfoot Society Board of Directors as to what to do about this situation. So, I mean, it wasn't just me. I know people want to give me all the credit, but it's not just me.
you're the president, and I guess, you know, they kind of look right to the president for what the decisions are made. But that's good to know, you know, that it was a mutual decision from more than one person. Why was it so unanimous?
Well, because, you know, we'd been discussing this photograph for such a long time, and, you know, and myself and Wayne. Wayne had seen it for the first time after I moved to Ohio, after we became engaged in October of 2008. And, you know, you can only talk about something just so much, and you can only have, you know, so many different people look at something and offer an opinion before you have to go outside your own little group and try to find other people who might have more information or more expertise that can help you figure something like this out. I mean, for us, it was, you know, when we finally released it, it was still just a mystery for us. We didn't have any answers. So we decided to take it outside of, you know, this small group of people and see if there was somebody else out there who could lend some expertise to it or just, you know, try to figure it out.
Now, 4 years, right, you sat on it. Now, in the Bigfoot world, I know from experience, in the Bigfoot world, that is an eternity.
Yeah,
you know, four years, and by the time you released it, you probably did not even release it to many of the same people that were there the previous 4 years. You know, with people coming and going, you know, in this genre of interest.
Right.
So, if you had a child when you started, he's in kindergarten when you released it. You know, that's a long time.
Yeah.
So it's not like you just made an impulsive decision. Now, as far as the clarity of it, you know, it's a compressed image for emailing, and you can only imagine what the image might have looked like in its original format. But nevertheless, it's still a very clear image, and people have always said, and down through the years, give us a clear picture. And
right.
So here's a clear picture, but it's not exactly what they want. And, you know, it's like we were talking about earlier. You get one thing and you want more, and you want more, and you want more. So right now, everybody's kind of craving the front side. Do you know of any prospects of getting other images?
Well, I am still in contact with the witness, and that prospect is still on the horizon. So, I mean, the initial articles that I wrote on the blog, people in this community, there's people who seem to think that those blogs were written for them, and it wasn't. The blogs were trying to get this witness to contact me again, and it worked. It worked. He came right out, and he finally emailed me. So he is working with me, and hopefully before too much longer, there will be more to this story.
Yeah, let me just ask you, you know, at point-blank range, and this is something I've asked many times in the past of different people who have different levels of evidence to produce. Do you know of, or have you any knowledge of, any possibility that this could be a hoax?
I have no idea. And, you know, that was really one of the determining factors in putting this photograph on the Internet, you know, and letting other researchers see it, because we don't know whether this is legitimate or whether or not this is a hoax. I can tell you that if it is a hoax, then it was a mighty fine, expensive hoax. The lowest estimates I've received so far to make something of this caliber is somewhere right around minimum of $2,000, and we're just talking for the hair that's attached to whatever is, you know, behind it, like maybe if it's a person in a suit, just the hair for this is a minimum of $2,000. And you can go up from there. So, I mean,
yeah.
If this is a hoax, this is an expensive one, and which doesn't make sense to me, because this person just simply disappeared.
Right. It doesn't make sense for a person to spend that much money, and then 4 years later, he still hasn't given you the okay. You know, he hasn't beat the tom-toms and demanded coverage.
No. In fact, that's exactly what he doesn't want.
Excuse me.
Do you have any idea why he sent it to you in particular?
Well, he told me that he had sent the photograph to another researcher, and that person was only interested in their own personal gain. That's his words. And I kind of surmised from that who that person was. But then he said that he got angry with this person because this wasn't about money for him. It was about the protection of the animal. And I had given an interview, and I think that's how he first heard about me, because then he said that he knew about my blog and stuff like that. So I think that he had heard my interview and how, you know, I was just, they'd ask me questions about blob squatches. I mean, I remember the interview like it happened yesterday, and they asked me, you know, what I thought about these photos that we get so often. And I said, you know, I'm just looking for one photo that gives me a good reason to stay involved in this, because I haven't seen anything that really told me, you know, yet that there really was something to this mystery. And then within like a day or two, I received the first email from him. And my interest has always been the protection of this animal. And that was something that he said that he appreciated.
Well, that makes sense. So he heard some things that he liked about you in your interview process.
Yeah.
And sort of chose you to give, well, that makes sense to me now. It's very encouraging to get some decent evidence, you know, as scant as evidence is in this business. What does the photo tell you personally, Melissa?
You know, it's a mixed bag. I don't, you know, I've been staring at this photo for 4 years, you know, and I mean, to me, if this is a real animal in this photograph, it makes me wonder, you know, sometimes why I get in the field and try to provoke a response from something like this. If this is a hoax, I think to myself, why? Because the end game has taken a long time, and you know, this person has never asked for money from me, and he knows that I would never offer it. So to me, this whole thing just, it just doesn't make sense. So I think I'm pretty good at reading people, but this guy has me confused. He really does.
Well, you know, in any photograph or any footage, video or film, you know, when you don't have background or you don't have information on it other than what you see, you kind of put it on the scales, you know, and you add to one side or the other, negative or positive, what the footage shows. And, right. And sometimes it's a little hard to determine whether you're looking at a negative or a positive in certain things. Now, in the lower left-hand corner, and like I said, the listeners can go to the website and look for themselves, it looks like that maybe perhaps there's a missing arm, because you can see some of the background through there. Yeah, go ahead. Hello?
Oh, no, I didn't say anything.
Okay, I thought I heard something. Yeah, you can kind of see, you know, a little bit of vegetation through there. And, you know, it's been my experience, you know, with still photos, which capture only an instant of time, that when you look at them, if you took the same picture of your Uncle Charlie, you wouldn't ask, why is his arm missing? But since the nature of the picture is like what it is, then you do. You wonder what happened to that. If you look all the way down to the, I think it's at the bottom, under Hovey left arm, I drew an outline of where I could determine that the yellowish skin to end. And I think what you're looking at, at least the way it looks to me, is that it's the subject is not centered in the light. And it's slightly angled to the right with the right shoulder closer than the left shoulder. Okay, right. Now if you were to move the left arm around to the belly in front of you, like, as if you were reaching out in front of you, then that shoulder would disappear behind hair that had already been swept over to the left. So that's kind of the way I see it. The hair looks as if maybe perhaps it was either laying on the hair or it scratched its back on a tree, or, you know, in the worst possible case scenario, it was a poorly done, you know, hairdo from a, you know, FX expert. But, you know, that's really not what I'm seeing. But I feel like that even a hoax wouldn't leave off the left arm. I think the arm is probably in front. So, you know, kind of what I said. Yeah.
Well, yeah, when I look at that, what I think, you know, if this is a real animal, let's just go with that for now, hypothetical. You know, if this is a real animal, my thought is that if that left arm is extended forward towards this bush, I mean, even if it's just a posed type situation, I would expect, because the hair is so much long, is so long, it's longer than what I expected to see ever. But the hair on the arm, I wouldn't expect long hair like that to follow the contour of the arm over the elbow and, you know, to the forearm. So when I look at that, I would expect the hair to go down and block maybe, you know, the rest of the arm if it's reaching forward. So to me, I mean, I really don't have too much of a problem with that, because even if it was posed that way, I don't think that the hair would follow the contour of the elbow.
Well, you're right. It would have to just turn 90 degrees the other way.
Right.
Regarding the bush and, you know, the left arm, if it were reaching out to the bush, what did you find the bush to be? What species? Is this a fruit-bearing bush?
There's a couple different schools of thought on that. Some people think that it could be a rhododendron, which would be interesting because it's toxic. And then another school of thought is the loquat. And the loquat is a fruit-bearing tree, although I don't think that it's fruit-bearing when the blooms are there. So I don't know at what stage of fruit-bearing it would have been. I mean, I personally think that it probably is a loquat, but, you know, I'm not a botanist. So, but that's basically what people are kind of, you know, back and forth right now on, whether or not it's a rhododendron or if it's a loquat. But then I've also had other, I've heard one more thing, and that was that it could be a mountain laurel. But I don't know for sure yet. But I lean towards the loquat.
Now, does that tell you anything about location, possibility, what region of the country it is?
Well, we know that the loquat only grows in the warmer climates. So, you know, we're talking like California, I believe Texas, Georgia, you know, the southern states.
Yeah, so not in the northern parts of California, like near the Oregon border, like in the Bluff Creek area.
I don't think so, no. Mm-mm.
So we're probably looking at something, a more warm weather type
right.
thing, if it were not to be a hoax.
Right.
You know, like I said, I've been privy to a lot of things, you know, in the last 14 years, you know, that I've been in the Bigfoot interest. And I've seen some films that came from the southern areas. That reason when I saw this, it struck me because it reminded me of those films. And in those films, the subject that was being filmed was very dim. It was in the very dim light, and it was at the edge of. It was being filmed at night with infrared and unmanned camera, you know, on a particular box of goodies that were left there. And this alleged Sasquatch that came into the field of view, although it was dim, it was enough light there that I could use some enhancements to bring it out. And I was shocked that this alleged Sasquatch walked backwards into that light cone and pulled those goodies along a table out of the light before, and then you could see it turn the goodies around. They were in an ice chest, and they turned it around and looked at it, and then had a little audible session, and then left and never opened it. But it struck me that it had its back to the light. You know,
right.
And you know, if that were to be true, then that must certainly mean that they know what those lights are and can see them, and that it's a response thing that if they don't show their face, you know, it may be something that Sasquatch just do when they're exposed to, you know, light sources, whether they be IR or in their normal spectrum, but. It caught my interest, and you know, you don't really know if that's a characteristic or not, but it's got my interest, and you know, I can't wait. You know, if there's something else comes from this, you know, I can't wait to see it. It's very interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who have said that too. You know, they're chomping at the bit because they're hoping they eventually get to see the face of, you know, whatever this is. And, I mean, I can't tell you how many people, even within the ABS, have said, you know, they're just sitting there staring at it going, you know, turn around, just turn around. Because it looks so real that, I mean, you can't help but wish that this thing would just turn around and look. As far as the lighting goes on this, the witness told me that he had installed security cameras or security lights. I'm assuming that they're motion detected. And, he did this initially to try to keep the animal from coming, he said, onto his property. I mean, I can only go by what he tells me, but, you know, people are concerned about the fact that the animal is, or the subject of the photo is facing this bush. I personally don't really have a problem with that, because if this is a fruit-bearing type of tree, we don't know if maybe the blooms are edible. I mean, if this is a legitimate picture of a Bigfoot, we don't know. This animal may be interested in that bush, and I've always thought that bush could be a focal point. It could be something that's important. And, you know, the witness had said to me in one of his emails that he thought the situation was extreme. I don't know exactly what he meant by that, but, you know, and I mean, it's just a whole bunch of things that I can't explain as far as, you know, why he thinks the way he thinks, because, you know, he really doesn't want to be identified, so he's being very careful about what he says, and I can't say that I blame him.
Well, you know, extreme could be extreme conditions, extreme health, a lot of different, extremely wounded, extremely this or that. What I see in the photo that could possibly be seen to be as extreme, and if the listeners will go to the very top, under Hubby Release Color Divergent Enhanced, in that, and I know that you've seen this as well, in the upper part of the back, just to the left of the spine, there looks like a couple of scratches that are red, with red grooves in them. Are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with what people have identified as a scar.
I don't know if it's a scar or whatever, but it's something that's different from the rest of the matrix. You know, it's got the hair pulled back away from it, and the hair on that side of the body is generally pulled over to our left, or its left too as well. I see what, and I take it to be, and I'm fairly certain that it is, moisture on the back to the point of wetness. A little further down from there on the lower back. So I don't know what to make of it, except that if the hair is pulled that way, if this thing is having problems to the point of extreme with its skin, or with an infestation of some kind, or with eczema, or many of the things that autoimmune type stuff, it would possibly find itself something to scratch, like a rough bark, and just go at it until it bled, you know, which is, you know, you can hardly get relief from some of these ailments that of that description. You know, they run deep into the skin.
Right.
I see a good bit of, you know, I call it a general nastiness. You know, once you get under the skin, under the hair, where the hair is, the grooving of the hair, you can see down to the skin. It's not pristine, is what I'm saying. It's not right. Something that's generally good looking, freshly looking skin. You know, all over under there. It looks pretty rough. Along the back of the head, if you go up to the very top, you see a lot of redness. Along the scalp, it looks tousled, as if something has just tossed the hair. You know, all around. So, you know, that in itself kind of makes me want to say, hey, let's wait on this photo right here before we condemn it. If you go to the top up there where it says Hovey Cinema, click here. Just click on that and let it load up. It takes 30 seconds to load up. And then it will appear to be flashing. And what it is various enhancements that show different things. And then I put them in a cinema where they actually run at 18 frames per second. And you kind of get a good view of the skin that way. It's got a cinematic effect. And if you look like dead center of the back along that little stripe, and you get down near the bottom, just to the left on that little most exposed place, you'll see it shimmering. Now, what that is the wet spot in different levels of exposure. Nothing's moving about it, but because you've exposed it differently when you printed the image, then you run them at 18 frames per second, it shimmers. None of the rest of it shimmers. Well, only the wet stuff will shimmer. So you got some wet stuff on the back, which is another thing. You know, I can't see a hoax leaving something that moist and wet, you know, on the back like that. You know, I figured they would prep it and dry it. So, you know, you hate to just fall. You know, no one wants to be made a fool of. You know, you don't want to just endorse something pell mell. But I would say that you also don't want to let nothing slip by you.
Right. You know, when I had my conversations with John Healy of Healy FX, he was the one, I discussed with him this photograph, and I asked him, what he thought the hair and stuff, if it was a costume, what it could be. And he reinforced what somebody else had said, that he thought it could have only have been this wolf or werewolf hair that comes from a specific company. And but I asked him, I said, you know, do you think that, because there's people out there who are saying that they think that the hair was glued on. And I asked him that, and he said, no, there's no way. And I would think that if the hair was glued on, that might account for some of the shininess, but he's saying specifically that there is no, there's no glue on this. So I don't know. I mean, to me, it's that's definitely a mystery.
Yeah. So, you know, water, don't know why. The picture don't tell you why it's there. It just tells you that it's there.
Right.
I also noticed, you know, that what a lot of people are calling the ear is not the ear either. It's hair strands. Now, they may be bulging out, you know, puffed out because of an ear behind them. But they're catching the light, you know, in a certain way. And you know, it's just a shape, making it kind of shape like that. But not the ear. I don't really see the ear. And I looked as hard as I could and did everything I could to try to tease it out of there. But it's just covered up.
Yeah, we actually agree with that because, yeah, to me that looks like, you know, where the light is catching the hair. I mean, there could be the ear protruding behind the hair, but, you know, pushing it out. But, you know, we actually think the same thing. We've always thought that that was probably just the hair catching light.
Now, if this turns out not to be a hoax, or if it's not a hoax, it's a pretty ragged individual for as far as, you know, it doesn't look like it's been combed and groomed. Maybe a pretty rough life wherever it is, wherever it's living. I've often thought about the hair coverage, you know, and what it does. Certainly this isn't cutting much wind. I mean, the wind could easily penetrate this.
Right.
So I don't think it's staying warm, you know, by having a coat of hair or fur. Maybe perhaps the bugs, you know, maybe it helps with bugs if it's near an environment with a lot of bugs. Now, as far as the camera equipment that was used here, what do you know about that?
All that I know is that he told me that he used a 35mm camera setup. Initially, that information that I put out was incorrect because, okay, this is a long story. Like I said, this goes back 4 years. But when I talked to him the first time around 4 years ago, when we were having the discussions within the American Bigfoot Society, I had said to them that I remembered him saying something to me about 35mm film. And, you know, my fiancé and, you know, Wayne and everybody else told me I had to have been wrong, that, you know, only game cams are used. And I was like, no, I think I'm right about this. You know, we, you know, bickered back and forth on that point. And then, you know, I was like, okay, fine, maybe I'm wrong because I'm not a photographer. I don't really know a whole lot about that kind of equipment. So I relented, and I went along with the game cam idea. And then once the photo was released, I got an email from the witness, and he told me flat out, he said, no, this was a 35mm camera setup, and there are multiple cameras that were used.
Oh, multiple cameras. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he was a pretty earnest effort to get a photo then. A camera trap rather than a game cam.
Right, and he said that these cameras were set up specifically to photograph this animal.
But well, if that's the case, then they specifically did it.
Right.
Well,
yeah,
there
are more images. He just has not released them to me.
Okay. What are the prospects, you think? You think that he'll come around with them? Or?
He said that he would be in touch as promised. So I think that eventually, I mean, you know, with all the grief that's going on because of this photograph, I mean, I don't know what he's going to do. You know, at this point, I just don't know. I hope that he sends more photographs. And
so what do you mean by grief? What sort of grief?
Well, you know, I mean, just the community in general. I mean, some people are, you know, they're actually looking at the photograph and they've reacted professionally, by, you know, offering ideas and looking at the photo and trying to come up with, you know, ideas for what this could be if it is a hoax. And that I appreciate, you know. And the witnesses, I mean, what they're saying about it has really blown me away. But, you know, it's the, well, this person's just trying to make money. Or, you know, this person's looking for fame or whatever. You know, it's when that starts happening to a witness, they start to get nervous, especially when there's never been any discussion about money from him or fame or glory or anything else. So, you know, it's I could understand if he did not want any more photos out there. I really could, you know, and I wouldn't blame him, to be honest with you.
Do you see the Bigfoot community as a whole, based upon experience with this photo, as being an objective community, or maybe perhaps a little bit on the cynical side, or how is the reaction being overall?
Well, like I said, I mean, there's been a good number of people who have acted professionally and responsibly, because they do want to see more photographs. You know, they do want to be able to look at more and see what they can figure out by looking at additional photographs. And then you have the others, and I'm not going to put a percentage on it, but it's pretty high. You know, I think a lot of it boils down to, you know, everybody wants to be the first, you know, to get that good image. And, I mean, I seen this coming. I knew that this was going to happen because, you know, as much as this community wants that clear image, I knew that this was going to just send some people over the edge. I mean, because, I mean, how do you look at this one photograph and be able to tell for certain whether or not it's a hoax? Well, we're so used to blob squatches and, you know, shaky, blurry videos that, you know, I knew that a lot of people were going to react the way they did, you know. So,
you think they probably saw it? They saw it as a tease, maybe. It's everything you want, but then nothing that you want.
No, I think that they looked at this photograph, and I think that there's a number of people out there who are upset that it didn't come into them. So, I mean, that's just the nature of this field of research. I mean, there's a green-eyed monster in this field of research, and you know that as well as I do. So, I mean,
well, it's there's not enough to go around. I'm here
right.
to tell you that.
But you know, a lot of the reasons why, and I'm going to say this, a lot of the reasons why witnesses do not come forward to the people within this community is because of the reactions that they have to live through from the people within this community who say that they're here to help them. You know, I mean, if I was this guy, I would absolutely 100% just fall off the face of this planet, because the way that this person has been treated, even though they don't know who he is, I mean, really, it's been really sad. I mean,
well, if he goes past the point of no return, and I mean, when people find out who he is, in this day and age when people can be tracked and found easier than the old days, you know, he might as well expect, fallout or, you know, from it, because, you know, people are going to show up at his door. You know, they're going to demand to know where it is and what to do, and, you know.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I mean, people can only find him if I give them the information to find him. And that's never going to happen, unless that's what he wants. He's going to have to put himself out there in order for that to happen. I mean, I have done everything that I can think of to protect his identity, and I will continue to do so unless I have reason to think that he is hoaxing. I mean, people can fault me for that. They can say whatever they want to say about me. But at the end of the day, you know, that's what I do. I mean, we're not in this just to prove this animal exists. If we want these people to come forward and talk to us, we have to at least have the backbone to protect these people. And that's what I'm doing.
MK,
and I will continue to do so.
MK, can I just interject something quickly to Melissa?
Sure.
And to folks listening out there, I believe we could securely have this person on with us And how we could do that is we could give them the passcode to the conference line, and if they call us on a number whose number is not displayed, we would have no idea who that person is. No way to track that call. You know, use a track phone or one of those prepaid phones. It would just like the terrorists do. No way to track that call. This person could come on, remain anonymous, and speak to the audience if he so chooses. We offer him an open invitation.
There you go.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, are you still there, guys? Everyone there?
I'm here.
Okay. In case you didn't hear that, if this gentleman, Melissa, if you would offer this to him, and it's fine if he declines, but we would like to give him the opportunity in his own words and respecting his privacy, we could give him a phone number to call us on, and if he uses a line with a private number, a number that's blocked or one of those track phones you can get at the store for $20, we could hear his side of the story, and he could remain utterly anonymous.
Well, I'll offer that to him as an option, next time I have word from him.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm not, it's not about trying to keep him from telling his story. You know, the problem that I have is, what he will most likely have to endure. Just because, if this photo is real, I mean, he's actually doing us a favor, I'll offer this to him as an option.
If he calls in the passcode on a phone that has no ID, number for to show up on a caller ID, I think as you can hit star something and it won't even show that on a regular cell phone, but then you got the option of a track phone or something like that. But he would be untrackable other than the story that he tells.
Right.
And that would be a possible option for him, to come forward and just talk to us a little bit. You got a lot of folks that are on the edge of their seats. And the photo looks good in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So there's no cynics here at Artist First, I can tell you that. There's plenty of cynics out there in other places, but Artist First is one of the most, like I said, they're an open format for expression of ideas. So this would be a place to come if you could get him to come.
Yeah, I will certainly give that to him as an option. I mean, he's, with good reason, he's very, very quiet. That's been the hardest thing for me because I'll ask him specific questions in emails, and if he wants to answer them, he will. But if he doesn't want to, it's as if I had never even asked the question. he's been very careful about what he says, because he really does not want anybody to know who he is. So,
look what we've had to put up with, MK, over the years, and Don, the controversies that came from the pettiness and the competition among Bigfoot enthusiasts out there, and the quest for profit. They don't care who they destroy along the way. Melissa, we've gone through lots of slings and arrows on this broadcast. Personal attacks against MK, against Don, against myself, against other owners of the Artist First Network. This gentleman is absolutely 100% correct when he says he wants to stay out of that mess, and I don't blame him one bit.
No, I don't either. And, I've had one person who threatened to expose me as a hoaxer if I did not give him this gentleman's email information. And it's, this is the kind of thing that makes witnesses not want to talk to anyone, And this person can threaten me all he wants. He's never going to get it. I mean, if MK knows anything about me, it's, that when I say something, I mean it. And, it's really a shame that witnesses have to go through this kind of thing. I mean, if his story is legit, if his story is 100% honest, it's really a shame what he's been put through, and he hasn't even put himself out there. So,
well, say nothing comes of the photo. At least, there's something in it for all of us. At what point do you really think that you have meaningful evidence? That's going to be accepted pell-mell in widely in general. Or at what point do you throw evidence out? Do you throw it out more on gut feeling than you do what you see with your eyes, or vice versa? You know, where do you, is this photo right here? What category do you personally put it in, Melissa? Does it go in good evidence, bad evidence, or maybe in the middle, in between? Let's wait on more, or what?
Well, for me, I mean, right now it's like in the middle, because you know I can't say that it's a legitimate animal, and I can't say that it's a legitimate hoax. And
hello.
Hello.
Hello. Melissa, this is Becky Butello. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Melissa, but I'm on the air.
All right, Becky.
And
good to hear from you.
I wanted to share some things. First of all, Melissa, it's wonderful getting an opportunity to hear you, and I'd love to be able to talk to you again sometime when you're able. But I didn't mean to interrupt. I've been listening to this whole thing, and I wanted to share some things. I've gotten down to the point where I believe it'd be a really good time if you guys would be interested to hear something I have to share with you.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. In 1969, I didn't know it at the time. I figured it out later on, that our property, a five-acre piece of land that was a really heavy forested area at that time was kind of a habituation site, or I think maybe the land, the trees, the forest right across from us was a habituation site. And my family and I found tons of footprints. And I mean, I literally would get on my hands and knees and put my hands inside these prints. And I cry now over it, because I wish I would have known then what I knew now. I was just an ignorant young girl, you know, and I just, it was fascinating to me. But I didn't realize until 1969, when I turned around to see a massive silver giant on the other side of the picture window that I was leaning up against, by the way. I had a wooden chair I was sitting on, and was leaned up against that window. And I turned around, and it was just staring down at me. And I mean, it was directly on the other side. It wasn't 20 or 30 or 40 or 50. It was right there, like, I don't know, 4 feet from my face.
Well, let me ask you this. You said silver. Was it anything like the photo here?
That's why I'm calling in, and that's why I wanted so badly. I didn't know the number last time. I wanted to get on there, and I couldn't find the number, and Don forgot to give it to me. But it was precisely exactly this color, and he had beautiful, long hair, just like this silver hair, and it was over, there were places it was well over a foot in length, and he almost looked groomed. He was not matted anywhere on his body. The hair was looked fairly thick, and it just flowed from his head all down his face, all over his shoulders, cascaded down his shoulders, and the hair on his arms, on the under part of his arms, were I'm going to say somewhere around 6 inches, 8 inches long. But he had beautiful long, and I mean, it was just absolutely the most terrifying and amazing sight that I have ever, it's burned in my brain. I that's what started me on my lifelong venture to find out as much as I could. I've seen three more since then, and that's not all. About 6 weeks later, after I saw this big guy looking down at me, I saw what I think might have been his son, or I think it was a male. But it was a silvery, just same color, the long silver hair just go casually loping back past a bedroom window. But this one stood right on the other side of this window and was staring down at me. And when I turned around, I was so terrified that it froze me with fear. I didn't know what I was looking at. I didn't know what it was. And I was just staring at his eyes, and he was just staring down into my eyes. And it was like he was looking in my soul. And he had amber red eyes. And he just stood. I mean, it looked like he'd been running, because he was like heaving air. It was in October. It was in October, and it was cold.
Let me slow you down here just a minute, for the benefit of us who are looking at these pictures right now, and we have seen nothing but the back. Fill us in on the face, please. What did the face look like?
It's interesting, because I'm looking at the back of this head right now, and I'm saying, first of all, if you turn that thing around from where you're seeing the shoulders or what there is or isn't there connects, you would see an individual who looked like he had no neck. Now, if you look off to the side, you're going to see this hair cascading down what looked like the side or starting into the front of his face. As I was looking at this individual who was on the other side of that window, the hair looked like it possibly was growing from his face because the hair, you know, I keep talking, you know, I've seen three other ones since this time. And the funny thing about it is this one, his face was covered with hair. The same silvery gray hair. And it just came down.
You mean like a beard, right?
He had a beard too, but his face was covered in this silky.
Okay, so
long,
it came down across his face from the front.
It didn't come down his face from it. It came. The hair cascaded from his up above that brow ridge. You know, it came up there like a hairline, and it came cascading down the side of his face. But there was actually hair, silver hair, growing on his face that covered his face, and all of it kind of blended in. But then he had this little beard. He had this beard that came down. I would say, gosh, I'm wanting to say like 3 inches, 4 inches, 4 inches maybe. It was like a little beard like thing hanging down there. And but he had this silvery gray hair covering all of his face, and I could see where the nose poked through. You know, the poked up. You know, made a three dimensional. You know, where I could see the nose was, and I could see his lips. You know,
okay,
where the...
Let me stop right here. The nose, let's get some details here. Start with the eyes. You said they were like looking into your soul. Were there anything unusual about the shape of them?
Hello? Well, they were big, but they were like an amber red. And it, you know, the interesting thing about it is that I was paralyzed. I felt like I was paralyzed, like I couldn't say help. I couldn't do anything. And I was just looking in his eyes, and he was just looking down. His eyes never even moved. He was just staring down in me, you know, like he was transfixed. I was transfixed. He was transfixed. I don't know if I caught him by surprise. He didn't expect me to turn around. I don't know if he thought he was, you know, and I just caught him, but he just stood there, you know, and I can still see it in my head. I don't know if I'm answering this right. I don't know if I'm giving you the answers you want. Am I telling you what you need to know?
No. Well, I'm like the many thousands of other people out there that wish they could turn this picture around. And if you've had an experience of one that looks similar with the same type of hair, maybe you can contribute a little bit toward at least some kind of vision of what it may look like, you know. That's sort of what it was.
Yeah, I mean, when I first saw this picture, I was flabbergasted, and I called Don right away, and I was trying to get on the last show when they were talking about this, and I was freaking out because I was like, you know, everybody always talks about the red ones and the brown ones and the black ones, and I've seen those too, but this particular one, which was the first one I ever saw in my whole life, was this beautiful, long, silky, silver color.
It's interesting that you say silver because I know photographically that when you photograph silver in bright light or any kind of light like that, it often photographs as white. And I know a lot of people claim that they see a white Bigfoot may actually be seeing one like this. Now, the facial hair that you said was growing on the face, and you could see the lips. Was there anything outstanding about the mouth or the lips? So what did it look like?
I could just see the nose, the edge of the nose pointing up through it was still covered with hair, but I could see it pushing up through, you know, you could definitely see where the nose was, even though it was covered with hair. I guess that's how I'm trying to say it. It was just kind of poking up through there. And so I wouldn't be able to determine, you know, if I thought it was more flat. I guess I could say that it probably was more flat, but there was a little bit of point to it, and then the lips were not real heavy. They weren't real big and thick. They were, I guess I could say, medium thin. And they were, pardon?
Medium thin. I was just following you there.
Yeah, you can, you know, the hair was covering the face, but it was thin enough where I couldn't see the skin. I guess what I'm trying to say to you is that I couldn't see the skin underneath that hair, so there was enough hair that actually covered the lips, but you could see the outline of it, and the same thing with the nose.
Wow. So it kind of looked like, almost the front was covered in hair to a great extent, like the back.
Yes.
See under it. Yeah.
Yes, and he was massive, and he had, it wasn't just a solid silver. There were lighter parts that looked like a really light colored gray, you know, like almost a dingy white, and then there were little black and brown hairs all through him, little black and brown hairs.
Okay, let me stop you there just a minute. Now, Melissa, is this the kind of thing that you've gotten, the kind of reaction you've gotten from witnesses who contacted you after seeing this photo? Sort of reaction?
Yep.
It struck home to them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm hearing from witnesses all over the place who have said to me initially what she first said, that, I mean, she was floored by this. There's one really respectable researcher out in the PNW. I talked to him by phone, and I mean, I knew he had a sighting, but I've never heard him talk about it. And he told me that when he seen this photograph, he said it freaked him out because it looked almost identical to what he had seen. You know.
Let me make a suggestion. Becky, you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Maybe if somebody's out there that hears this, could get in contact with you or me or Don or Melissa, and that's of artistic talent, could render maybe one or maybe more of these photo of these sightings into an image of some sort. Maybe we get just some kind of an idea of what this guy would look like if he turned around and looked at us. Because if we don't end up not getting more pictures, that may be all we have. And I can tell by the way that your reaction to this photo that you definitely were affected by your sighting.
Yeah, this is amazing. This is I almost wish that I knew where it was, because if someone told me that this was in Pierce County, Washington, I'd say that's my guy, that's him. You know, I mean, seriously, I'm dead serious about this. If somebody had told me this is in Pierce County, Washington, I'd say that's him. That's the same one. Whereabouts?
Well, to be honest with you, Becky, we don't really know for sure where he is. Maybe he is your guy. We don't know.
Well, I have nothing to gain other than to share my story. I don't want any money from anybody. I realize it took me half of my life when I saw, after seeing this individual, that I had a special encounter, that when I started realizing what I'd seen, I mean, I literally, at that time in my life, I had to go to my high school library, and the only thing that they had was a book on the abominable snowman. But when I saw the picture, I thought, oh, my Lord, that's it. That's what I saw, you know, because they showed him in this whitish gray, you know, and it was a kind of a drawn illustration, but I knew that that's what I saw. And then after seeing the little one, the juvenile, I knew there was a family out there, and we'd had many, 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 for years and years and years, incidences, you know, all the time out there. And, I can tell you that, in my opinion, that's totally real. I mean, anybody can speculate on why they think that, what's wrong with his back. It can be anywhere from a skin condition. I mean, it makes me wonder, you know, cougars attack people from the back. That's cougars' little M.O. Would a cougar attack one of these from the back? Would that be possible? I'm sure, but then again, we're just speculating. But when I look at this, I'm saying this is completely real, because this is what I saw.
Well, I appreciate you calling in on this one, Becky. Like I said, this image right here tugs at you. You can't hardly not look at it, but it doesn't quite give you enough. So, anybody that's got any information on any sighting that looks similar to this is greatly appreciated. You know, if they could share it, and maybe we can get an artist to draw it or something, just something that we can go by.
Well, I've tried to draw it a number of times, and I keep messing up the face. It's like I can't figure out why I can't seem to get that look right, you know, because he didn't have, this individual that I looked at didn't have an extreme conical head. It went up a little bit, but it wasn't extremely conical like a lot of people, a lot of illustrations show. So, you know, it, like I said, it's ingrained in my head forever. If I could get somebody who could help me out, who could draw something close to what I saw, I would be able to say right then and there, that's what I saw.
Well, there's a lot of talent out there. If you find somebody willing to do it, I'm not sure I appeal to them to get them to do that, and maybe we can get an idea, just something to go by, because if we don't get any more photos, this may be all we have of it.
Well, Don and I talk quite frequently, so, you know, if you could always get a hold of him. He can give you my phone number, my email. Anybody's welcome to get a hold of me at any time. And I hope to hear from you more again, Melissa.
Oh, I'll definitely be getting in touch with you. You know, I mean, what she was talking about with the hair color, I had one, you know, a couple of people said, you know, the hair color is just not what it's supposed to be. You know, and I have to laugh at those people because, you know, what is it supposed to be? I mean, we've heard about black, we've heard about brown, we've heard about cinnamon, we've heard about white, I mean, what do we expect, you know?
And the thing of it is that I'm to a point in my life where I'm not interested in if anybody wants, you know, to think that I'm faking it or that I'm lying. It doesn't really matter to me what people think. I know what I saw. I looked that thing up one side and down the other, you know, before I tried to get out of that chair and it ran off. You know, I know what I saw, and I'm not interested in, it doesn't even bother me for people to make comments, good or bad. You know what I mean? I hope that they're not, but I know what I saw.
Do you think you were in any danger?
I felt like he was going to kill me at first because I thought, I can't yell to I couldn't even say help. I was afraid it was going to kill me. I mean, I thought all he has to do was lift up his arm, hit the window, and take my head off because I'm sitting right there, you know? I didn't know what it was. And he looked at me like he wasn't very happy with me for some reason. You know, he's just like kind of frowning, had this frown because I think I might have caught him by surprise. But yeah, I was scared. I was terrified. I was frozen with fear, terrified. Yeah.
I was just going to say, her reaction is really what I have been witness to. Because I showed this for the first time to a witness last year, and him and his wife and the gentleman, he's what we call a man's man. I mean, he's a hunter, a fisherman, he's a country guy, and he's tough as nails. But boy, when he seen this picture, I mean, it took him back, and it freaked him out. I mean, it was pretty amazing to watch his reaction. And his wife, they were looking at it, and they were like, well, you know, the hair color is a little bit lighter than what we've seen, but, you know, the muscle structure. What's interesting is how the witnesses are pointing to what they see that's similar, and then they're pointing out what wasn't similar. So I would think that if this was not a legitimate type situation, these people would just be throwing this out altogether. You know, no. It's not like that at all. It's not, you know, totally different. That's what I was expecting when I was actually showing this to witnesses. I got the exact opposite. I've gotten a lot of...
I hate to cut it off, but I think we're about out of time. Scott, you on?
Yes, and we are. We're right up against the news. We've got to wrap it.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on, Melissa. Thank you for calling in, Becky. Don Monroe, thanks as always.
How are you?
And everybody, thank you. You've been listening to Bigfoot Central on Artist First Radio. That's M.K. Davis, Don Monroe, Becky, and Melissa from the Bigfoot Society of America. American Bigfoot Society. Stay tuned. The CBS News follows. We have a full night of programming coming your way on Artist First. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.